as we welcome Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell into the studio this morning. As is customary to have the council with us the morning of a council meeting. Hi, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Fairhope.
Nice for you to join us again. And I've been looking over a rather long and large agenda with some very major expenditures, perhaps more than I've ever seen in one meeting. So it will be enjoyable to go through that.
It will be, I don't know if enjoyable is the word that I would choose, but it will be interesting to say the least. And yes, there are many, many large expenditures. Of course, aside from those large expenditures, which we can go into detail on, we will be discussing the budget. I don't want to say we're going to pass it tonight. We would like to. I hope that we get to that point. I know the mayor hopes that we get to that point tonight. I can't speak for everybody. There's just a lot of things that go into this. I know that even as of yesterday, mayor was making some tweaks to the budget, and so I know that I personally haven't had a chance to go through those tweaks, but we were almost there as of last week. So I think she'll just try to tell us about those tweaks, and maybe we can get it done tonight. But the large expenditures, and we'll get to that more when we get to the main agenda, are Restore Act projects that, you know, that this city's been hearing about from the council and mayor for, you know, years now. This is all Restore Act money, monies that we've been given due to the BP oil spill, which of course happened 12 years ago. So we've been talking about $10 million in sewage system upgrades for a long, long, long time. And
it's finally here.
We are finally voting on the expenditures of a good bit of those funds.
Let's go ahead and cover that. 11, 12, and 13 are the agenda items. One of them is a $5,841,000 Fairhope Sewer Upgrade Phase 1 Lift Station Rehabilitation Project.
Right. Well, and you know, we have 80-something lift stations in the city now, and we're constantly adding them. I think when I came on the council, we had, I'm going to throw out a number, approximately 60. So we've increased that by, you know, 30-something percent. So we would like to rehab a lot of the existing ones. We would like to add. And if you look at the pages of this, it's a very, very, very long scope of work into the rehabilitation of these lift stations and constructions of new lift stations. And you know, that's a constant battle that we're always fighting to make those lift stations reliable, make sure that they have the right capacity. We don't want leaks, we don't want smell. And when you're talking about 80 something of those, you can go through $5 million pretty quickly.
And then the another $4.5 million is also Fairhope Sewer Upgrade Phase 1 for side stream storage.
Yeah.
Both of those go into the same company, Bolcon Inc.
Right. Well, when you hear about side stream storage, this is something that's relatively new now. I've been talked about for the last 3 or 4 years in Fairhope, and that is, you know, sometimes our lift stations get overwhelmed, times of heavy usage, times of heavy rain, and we're trying to fix all of that. There's leaks in that system, so fresh water infiltrates the sewage water. And let's say you have a power outage, and you have a gravity-fed sewer that's going to a lift station that'll pump it. A lift station is basically a pump station. It'll pump it to the next station or to the plant, depends on where you're at in the system. And if you lose power, for instance, and it's all flowing into one pump house, there's nowhere for it to go because it can't pump to the next station. So one of the things we try to do is we try to, you know, buy more generators, and that's something else we'll be doing. I'm glad I kind of thought to say that too, is we'll be buying generators so that if we lose power, we can still pump sewer. But another way to manage that is through side stream storage. It can go into these large underground storage tanks to hold that sewage until, you know, you have power, or it will also prevent your pumps from running 24/7. It'll give them a break in between runs, which instead, so the equipment will last longer and okay, won't wear out so quick.
And then the third resolution to deal with the Fairhope Sewer Upgrade Phase 1 is Sewer Collection System Rehabilitation.
Yeah.
$463,000, and that's going to a different company.
Yeah, and that CIPP on the agenda stands for cured in place pipe and manhole lining. And I had just mentioned the freshwater infiltration. You know, trees grow roots, sometimes they crack our pipes, and so when water leaches through the ground, it'll get in there with the sewer water, and you don't need to be treating rainwater in the plant. So a lot of times we have an influx of water just due to the cracks that we have. So you put in this cured in place pipe. It is a substance that they can put into the pipe, and it'll expand and it'll dry, and you don't have to go into the ground and lay new pipe. It will basically repair the existing pipe and seal the existing pipe. And the same thing with the manholes. You know, a lot of times if water gets over the lid, if you don't have a good lining in that, you know, you can get an infiltration of water, fresh water, into your sewer system. So that's and that $463,000, in the grand scheme of things, I know that's a lot of money, and we talk about that a lot on your show, Lori, but for the size system that we have, you know, that's probably not nearly enough to take care of what we need. And we budget a certain amount every year for cured in place pipe and linings and repairs to that. We're constantly adding money to the system to make repairs.
And this is a blessing with this $10 million Restore Act, money from the restoration from the BP oil spill.
And not only that, Lori, I think that we were approved for a plus up, you know, as costs have gone up dramatically. I can't tell you what that $10 million became, but I know that we asked for a plus up from the Restore Council, and I believe that we were given that. And Mayor Sullivan tomorrow can probably give you more details on
that. Okay,
but
a
that was
plus
really,
up.
Yeah, a plus up. In other words,
okay, cost of increase.
Cost everything
cost of
went
increase,
up,
yeah.
You know, so they were able to give us additional funds to offset those increases. Like I said, I think Mayor Sullivan would be able to. She sits on the Restore Act Council and can probably give you those precise numbers.
Very nice.
I don't have those in front of me.
We're skipping around a little bit, but I wanted to cover that project and go back to the budget a minute. This is the first time I can recall since I've sat in this chair 15 years or so of no specially called budget meetings, yet you're this close to approving the budget.
Well, we did, but we also had many work sessions where we had department heads and mayor and treasurer. So it's been on our agenda for weeks now, and so not only do we get presentations there, but you know, we have big thick budget books that we study, and we call and we ask department heads questions. Do you need this? Do you need that? Is there anything that you'd like to have? Is there any luxury items that we can delete? So we hit it pretty hard. And for instance, you know, last week, Councilman Robinson and I met with the mayor and three or four members of the senior staff, and it was on a Sunday, and we met for, you know, 4 or 5 hours. So you don't see that in public, and you know, it's just only a couple of council members. And the mayor had done that with one or two council members at a time to go into that detail. And that's very valuable because you don't have any distractions. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're sitting in a conference room, and you know, with hundreds of papers in front of us, and just asking real tough questions of the mayor and staff. And I think that's how you also move the needle. I know that the mayor started this budget process back in the summer, and here we all, you know, it's early fall. So this has been going on for quite a while, but I do appreciate you asking, did we have any special call meetings? I think that because we had so many work sessions on this, in the regularly called, council meetings, that we didn't need to have a special call meeting. Now, and we're not there yet. We haven't passed it yet. Like I said at the outset of the show, I'm hoping to pass it. I'm sure that the council is all hoping to pass it. But there's still questions that remain because there's some tweaks, and I'm anxious to hear what those tweaks are. In fact, when I leave this show, I'll go back to the mayor's office and ask her what she worked on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And those are things you don't see that an hour here, an hour there of deep discussions.
And this is a good time to remind people that you can watch the City Council work session and meeting live or later on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel. So you can watch these budgetary discussions and more. Number 9, that the City Council authorizes the mayor to expend impact fees for projects specified Police Department, 224,000. Transportation, 400,000. Parks and Recreation, 1,392,000. So this is actually taking the impact fees that that builders pay, right? And then and dispersing it to fund city operations.
Right. You know, by law, if we collect those impact fees and it has an impact on our community, we have those separate buckets of money that we have to put that in. And so we have to designate exactly where what departments that will go to. And there's a formula that we have for that. And we even pay a fee to hire professionals to tell us what the ratio should be in this city. And so far, if you look at, I don't know if you have it, but in the resolution, we talk exactly where the monies will go in parks and recreation. I can just kind of give you a few of those items: track, baseball fields, installation of lights, parking lots for baseball fields, restrooms at Volana Park, pickleball courts. That's parks and recreation. We have a police department, three new police vehicles with equipment, a speed trailer, license plate readers.
What about transportation?
Transportation is under drainage, so that would be street improvements.
Okay. Okay. Number 10 has my curiosity.
Kind of wondering about those license plate readers, though. $22,500.
License plate readers?
I don't know. Want to find out about that one?
Yeah, it might be interesting.
Where are they reading license plates?
And why?
Yeah, what's that about?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll ask.
Number 10, hiring, allowing the mayor to execute a retainer agreement with attorneys at law to prosecute any legal claim for negligence against any and all parties or corporations found to be liable under the law for injuries or water supplies per these substances in the water. What in the world is that?
Well, you know, what's happened
Dioxane.
Is the federal government, in all of their wisdom, of which they have little, yeah, if you're listening to me and you work for them, sorry. So they have lowered the standards. I'm sorry, they raised the standards. They've lowered the amount of these so-called forever chemicals that can be in the water. And there are companies that knowingly put chemicals in, you know, it's gotten into the groundwater. And so this would be hiring an attorney that would go after some of these corporations that have contaminated waters, should that come up. You know, this is a nationwide thing. It's sweeping the nation. People are filing lawsuits everywhere against these chemicals. And what this would allow us to do is, if we had losses due to those, you know, some lawsuits, this would allow us to, this person would represent us in going after those responsible for the contamination to offset the cost of those lawsuits. That's not saying we're going to be sued. It's not saying we're going to be held liable. It's just a retainer should that happen. Now, I don't know this person. I know of a local attorney that had brought this to my attention months ago. I tried to bring it to the attention of the city. Now, I don't know if this person's representing a water system throughout the state. I talked to the mayor briefly about that this morning before I came on the air, and I believe that there are many water systems that are putting this person under retainer. So I'm going to ask, you know, some questions about that, and you know, make sure that this is the person that we want representing us, and why this person.
So these particular chemicals, dioxane and polyfluoral something, were in our water and aren't
now?
No, it doesn't
say it is. Like I said, this is a nationwide thing. We're just getting caught up in the latest, you know, craze that sweeping the nation in lawsuits.
Wow.
And we haven't been sued. There's... I don't even know if we have found any of those chemicals, but you know what? What I was saying about the federal government is the threshold is so low. You know, let's say you found I'm going to make up a number, one part per trillion. Well, the instruments are so sensitive now. Let's say you measured one part per trillion, and that substance, you know, got on the instrumentation. The next time you measure it, your instrumentation could even contaminate it because it's so incredibly sensitive and those values are so low. Now, I'm not trying to take up for people that may have contaminated this water. But I just know that the fact that everything is, you know, our technology is so good, what used to be considered a safe and legal limit now is not considered the legal limit. I wouldn't say that it's considered, you know, unsafe. I don't know what those thresholds are, but so this would be to have the ability to recover. If let's say we were sued for $100,000, this person would say, all right, we're going to go to such and such and say, you contaminated it, you're going to pay this.
Okay.
Now, how long that money lasts, you know, what's going to happen is some judge somewhere that
let's,
we don't
let's
know.
Let's move on before we run out of time.
That's, you know how that goes.
Yes.
That's, big pots of money, and then it disappears. And,
resolution number 18, hiring an environmental consulting firm for professional services for environmental and cultural resources assessment and permitting at the K1 Center. What does that mean?
You know, we have to do another asbestos survey, and we had had one done when we purchased it, but it's just before we can move forward with the grant. You know, we have the grant to put a lot of rebuild and upgrades, rehabilitation into the K1 Center. It's required that we go through this, so we have to hire a firm to do a more comprehensive asbestos a survey of that building.
Is it just asbestos?
You know, it may be other environmental concerns, but the thing that people talk the most about would be, you know, there may be lead paint, for instance, that they look for, okay, but I don't recall that being a thing. But yeah, any type of those known contaminants that are pretty common in old buildings. I know that we had looked at that quite a long time ago, and we know that there's some asbestos in the building, but at that time it was stable. You know, asbestos is not a good thing, but it's not 100% of the time, you know, dangerous, but they'll want to take a survey on how to rid the building of that and any other contaminants that need to be taken care of.
A resolution number 20. Finally, we've got a bid with Taurus Electrical to fix the electrical system at the Fairhope Docks and Marina.
Yeah,
that's $150,000.
Yeah, that's been going on for a long, long time, and you know, we need to get that marina back to full operational capacity, and part of that is to allow these boats to have power when they come in. And you know, we hired an electrician that was to do a lot of that, and of course this electrician is being pulled, licensed electrician is being pulled in every which direction, so I think we're going to go out and sub that out so that we can, you know, the longer we put this off, the more money that we actually lose in income, because we can, you know, those slips are valuable. You know, they bring in,
they're sitting I've been on the waiting list 2 years now.
Yeah,
now
I've
sold my boat now that you're gonna have it fixed.
Well, that's where we were waiting on that, Lori. We did that to upset you, you know.
But no, the mayor and you I know you're joking. We talked about how hard it was to find someone to do this work. So,
it is. They're all busy.
Glad to see you've
but,
got
you know,
it.
With the economy slowing down a little bit, I think that you know, it's gonna get a little bit easier to maybe find people that are willing to do the work right now.
I almost missed another huge number. Number 21, $4,688,000 to A-Long Boring, Inc. for pump station and force main maintenance.
Yeah. Now, if you recall our conversation prior to going on the air, Lori, I told you that there were three large projects that were Restore Act funded and one that was not. This is in the budget. So this is something that we need. We need to be able to pump fresh water out to places of the city that are expanding. I know that, for instance, this water it will help with the development that is going in at 104 and 181. You know, there's a big shopping center going in out there, and we need to be able to supply water to those locations and all of those locations in the northeast of our city and jurisdictional area. So you come in here and look at the bids on this, and it came in about $900,000 more than the cost estimate, but one of them came in about $600,000 less than the other bid. And you know, for me, we have to do these things. We can't put these off because we have to be able to provide service to these customers. And, you know, you're almost at their mercy and you just hope that you're getting a good price. But these, when these prices come in at $900,000 above the estimate, I don't remember how long that estimate, you know, how long ago that estimate was made. Was that a year ago? Which, you know, if it was, I can see a big increase like that. Was that a few months ago? I don't know how we keep missing the mark by 900,000, which, by the way, was 25%.
I'm curious, though, because it says pump station and force main maintenance. It doesn't say anything about new.
Yeah, no,
piping and new services.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely.
Of course, you've got the paperwork, and I've.
Yeah, no, there's an awful lot that's going into that. There's I can look at the details. There's release valves, gate valves. You know, there's a 12-inch sanitary sewer force main pipe, which is $544,000. The 16-inch sanitary sewer force main pipe laid at all depths, directional bore installation.
So this is new. This is new pipe work.
This is new, yes.
I was confused because it says maintenance, but okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, traffic control, temporary erosion control, it's the whole kit and caboodle, as they might say.
And where is this work going to be taking place?
A lot of this will be on... it'll start, let's see here.
We're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 8:52. And let's see if
they said it's going to, I think a lot of this goes down Fairhope Avenue, but it ultimately is going to be taking fresh water, among other places, out to the northeast section of town. That would be the 181, 104 area of the city. Okay. And a lot of points in between.
Okay.
And you're talking 16-inch pipes and 12-inch pipes. You're talking an awful lot. Unfortunately, I do not have a map of that in here. And that would be, you know, something really nice to have for the city council, is to put a map in there and say, okay, this is exactly where that pipe's going to go. I'm going to ask for that, see if we can't get that.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. I have my fingers crossed to ask you one more question.
All right.
And that's the latest on the Church Street infrastructure project, because was scheduled. Is today the day they're going to close at Fairhope Avenue and North Church, or just one day this week when they get to it?
Very latest.
I looked for an update or a letter, but the last.
This is going to be a little bit. This is a little bit older. It says that the north entrance to Church Street at Fairhope Avenue will close at 8 a.m. That's today.
Yes.
As the final steps of the wastewater system work are underway, it could last up to 3 weeks.
And what I was asking is that still on schedule because it's open?
That is the last update.
All right.
That I have from staff.
So that's the last update I have. So any minute now, any day now, that's going to be closing. So we can all just...
Right,
and
it will be open to pedestrian traffic.
Yes.
So.
And about how much longer is this project going to take?
I think a few weeks. Okay. I think in 3 weeks.
That's all. That'd be nice.
That's for the majority of. We still got to go to Fells. I'm kind of thinking more around the Church Street Central Business District area, Park K1. All of that. It'll last a little bit longer than that before they finish up all the way to Fells.
They're shooting to have it done in October, but like you said, maybe not.
Well, the weather certainly got a lot better over the last couple of weeks, and I keep waiting for that first cool morning, Lori.
You're going to have it tomorrow.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can you guarantee me that?
I can't guarantee it.
My gosh, I kept thinking, you know, the
low
60
tonight,
this morning.
The low tonight is 63. The low Wednesday night, 59, so we're getting there.
You know, I actually set my alarm early on those cool mornings just to get up and drink coffee on the back porch to enjoy it. So I went out there this morning, and the humidity was 99%.
It's still a little warm. But
it was a little warm.
It's on the way, and then so is the hurricane.
Well, and that's why, you know, the other thing is we're hoping this cold front will you know, deflect this hurricane away from us. And it's not forecast to hit here, but no. You never know. Crazier things have happened, right?